Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another week here at The Damage Board. I'm John Iadarola. Today is a Monday, and it is going to be, it's our new every 2 week tradition, a Viviantastic Monday. Viviana, welcome back to the show. Viviana Vigil, always glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me, John. I'm excited to be here. It's a great way to kick off the week, so I enjoy it very much.
It is. And I think actually we've got a pretty good rundown for kicking off the week. I'm going to feel a little bit of a Schadenfreude for the experience of one of the January 6 rioters. That's going to be a lot of fun. We do unfortunately have to reckon with our co-presidents, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Both of them have been very, very naughty recently, and we're gonna explain how. Let's see, what else do we have? Colin Powell passed away. We're going to be talking about that. And I think we might have found the most amazing Karen ever. Wait until you see this Karen.
I can't wait.
It is a very, very bold Karen that we're going to be showing.
That's saying a lot because we have seen some Karens in our day. So this is, buckle up, people.
Yeah, at some point I'm gonna do like the definitive book about Karens. I think we need to start to classify them. There are what I call Karens of passion. Those are Karens that it just comes up and it just happens. Cold-blooded Karens, though, I think might be more amazing. And this is a cold-blooded Karen that we've got.
These are the ones that they plan on it. They really stalk their victims.
Yes, yes.
How is Karen rating as a baby name these days? Is it down in the polls?
I hope it is. I have an Aunt Karen.
Who's naming their baby Karen these days? No one.
Yeah, I guess not. Anyway, and in addition to all of that, Viviana's going to once again be joining me for our top 10 list that we do every Monday for our tier 2 and tier 3 members on YouTube. Today, a fun one that we're going to do periodically because it's just too much fun. But it's our top 10 red flags. So things that make us judge people when we see or hear a particular thing about them. Mine is a mix of politics and non-politics, and one that I think Viviana is going to really agree with, but we'll see. Anyway, I'm excited to do that with you, Viviana.
I love it.
Okay, well, with that, thank you everybody for being here. Thanks for sticking with the news when everything's hell and it's very easy to just, I don't know, like go watch like reruns of Lower Decks or something. But we're very glad to have you here. And if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button, sharing the stream, that would be great. We'll respond to your comments, tweets, super chats, all that as we go. But with all that, Viviana, you ready to talk about some news?
Let's rock and roll.
Okay, let's do it. Let's talk about one of the rioters on January 6th. This is Daniel Rodriguez, who has had a bit of an issue in his recent talks with the FBI. Now, he's an individual who was identified from footage and photos on January 6th by the Huffington Post. He also electroshocked Mike Fanone, the DC police officer. So he's the guy that did that, or possibly one of the guys that did that. You're seeing Daniel DJ Rodriguez there. Here's the thing. He was interviewed by the FBI, and you know, you can look at this in one of two ways. Some people crack under the pressure, or perhaps if we're being charitable, he came to a greater understanding of what he had become as a person. So he allegedly spilled his guts to the FBI, repeatedly crying as he told special agents he was an effing piece of S and worried that his mom's going to find out what he did. He's a full grown man. He's a full grown man, but he's worried his mom's gonna find out, which yeah, I wouldn't want my mom to know I'd been there. He went on to say such things as, I'm not smart, I'm so stupid, I'm an a-hole, I'm a piece of S. This guy really, which do you think it is? Is this just like wanting to get a lighter sentence or whatever? So like you really like lay it on thick? Or do you think he like realized? Like I hadn't realized what I'd become, but now I get it. Oh my God. What do you think?
I think he's a child. I don't think he gets it. I think this is an example of how weak-minded these insurrectionists were and how susceptible they were to the mind control that they were under from some of these conservative, you know, shock jocks and whatnot, and Donald Trump himself and all of the rhetoric that they were absorbing. What I'm not hearing from this guy is acknowledging the hateful rhetoric that got him to the place where he thought he needed to save the country. So he's like, oh, I was an idiot. Okay, let's hear why you're an idiot. Because you're a racist.
He does a little bit.
Okay, right.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Your expectations might be too high for him.
This is how I know he's not really sorry. He's like a child that had his hand caught in the cookie jar. And oh, I didn't know. I thought it was true. They said I could have a cookie. No, you were caught up in the hateful rhetoric, which you believe and you probably still do, You probably in your heart of hearts have this racism inside of you, this anger towards other groups, which is ironic because he looks to be a person of color himself, which is really, to me, the dichotomy of how people of color are being treated underneath this, the insurrection is shocking to me. Because the guy could have stole a pair of socks at Ross and he'd been face down in the gutter. And this time they're like, well, what do you think? Are you sorry? It's just mind boggling. But I don't think he's sorry. I think that he is a weak minded individual, just as all of them who were there are very weak minded people. They're not able to be reasoning, rational individuals. They're very prone to be moved with the tide and peer pressure. And this is an example of that. So of course they're gonna they've all backpedaled in the same way. They're not strong individuals. Yeah. I mean, if somebody goes wear khakis and bring a tiki torch and you go, I mean, you're not, there's not much upstairs. So yeah. I don't know, I'm not impressed. Who wears khakis these days?
Yeah, 100%.
Jake from State Farm?
Well, we'll see. We're gonna give you more of his statements. We're gonna try to evaluate it. But you've been saying that he's weak, which implies that, well, someone has gotten in there and gotten to him. He's gonna identify those people as well. And the reason I find this story so fascinating is a lot of this stuff has been going on for months now. Hundreds of these people have been being interviewed by cops and by detectives and by the FBI, and we get so little information from it. So I don't know how representative this is, but I find it to be fascinating. Understand this though. To some extent, one possible explanation for why he's being so forthcoming with condemnation of himself is that the FBI sort of framed it, and I sort of get it. I think it's a manipulation technique. They came in and in this transcript said, basically, are you going to help write the story of who you are? Or are you gonna let BLM and Antifa do it? Like, you need to tell us what actually happened. They said to him, Danny gets to choose if he writes a story today with us. But right now, the story that's being told is by DC, is by Antifa, BLM, and the Huffington Post. I love the idea that this FBI special agent thinks that those things are all closely affiliated and all have to do with DC.
Black Lives Matter is like this.
Exactly. They're meeting with Arianna Huffington.
What is happening?
That's weird. But so that might be influencing it. But let's learn a little bit more about DJ Rodriguez. Rodriguez said in the interview that he became radicalized watching videos on InfoWars and from conservative commentators like Steven Crowder, Mark Dice, who I've never heard of, and the Hodge twins that convinced him of the conspiracy theory that Trump actually won the election. So you're probably familiar with Steven Crowder. He, well, if you're not, like, just take the dumbest guy you knew in high school and he got a camera eventually. But anyway, the weird thing is, are you familiar with the Hodge twins?
No, I was like, I thought they were like the dancing twins that danced with Beyonce. So these are not the same guy?
No, I don't think so. So I remember the Hodge twins from years ago. It's these two guys, they're twins, I think, would do these videos where both of them are in it. And they like sort of comment on the news, but they barely say anything. They would like each intro took like 40 seconds of them just staring at the camera. I don't really remember, but it wasn't anything crazy. Like, but apparently in the years since then, no, they lost their minds actually. So it's fun how the world evolves. But anyway, here is what Daniel said. And he tells us a little bit about that path of radicalization. He says, my beliefs are that an overwhelming number of people came out to vote for Trump. And he actually did win that election, the popular vote and the electoral vote. They made sure that the election was lost. And there's no point in voting anymore. So it's like, I'm thinking they're gonna come, like, you know, they're gonna come round us up. So this is what led to him going on January 6th. So yeah, where would he have come to that conclusion that secretly the people he loved never lose, and that now that the evil, you know, baby eaters are in office, they're gonna come and round us up. They're gonna take our guns, they're gonna lock us up. You hear that stuff constantly from these crazy people. Yeah. And you know, Steven Crowder's not gonna be any trouble from this. InfoWars isn't gonna be any trouble. Like, once we figure out who Mark Dice is, he's gonna be fine. But these people produce this, and not all of them go and riot. Not all of them try to shoot up.
Did you say, like, once we figure out who this guy?
Well, I'm sure the FBI, they've got special agents, so they're gonna figure it out. I don't know, for all I know, he's got millions of followers. The internet's a big weird place. And maybe he's on Spotify, I don't know. But but this is what happens. You put out insanity to millions and millions of people. Most of them will write it off. Some of them will just watch it and that's it. And a few will go and they'll riot. And a few will take seriously what you say, and they'll get their guns or they'll build pipe bombs or IEDs or whatever, and they'll try to assassinate cops to start a race war. Like, this is how you do it, okay? It's stochastic terrorism. This is how it works.
Why was Trump not mentioned in this list of influencers? I mean, he was saying exactly the same thing about winning the election. Somehow he had no part in this. The day of the insurrection, he was saying just that, but he had no part in it.
So are you saying that that indicates that he's only, like, he's willing to learn and grow? I shouldn't have trusted these people, but he's still holding strong to Trump, you're saying?
I absolutely think so. And I think you had to be a little bit unstable mentally to actually go to the Capitol and do what they did. And that's what happened to that woman that got killed. And I think that there are a lot of people who stayed home but feel exactly like this guy DJ.
Yeah.
They were just as hateful and just as angry. And that is what is dangerous. And if we don't really get to the bottom of how these people's minds were controlled in the way it pushed, because, you know, as much as we don't want to consider ourselves part of the masses, we are. All of us are part of the masses, and we're all susceptible to things, and we have to challenge ourselves to question things, wonder why we're thinking certain ways. Even you and I, John, we have to go, wait a minute, am I being kind of fed some progressive agenda, or do I really feel like this? And we have to be critical thinkers. We do. And if we don't constantly question things, the problem is you have the people that go on the other side, like, they just question everything. It doesn't make any sense, no rhyme or reason, conspiracy theories, et cetera, et cetera. This is a dangerous guy, and their excuses, and it's been him and all of the rest that have been up there in the hot seat. They just like, oh, well, I wasn't in control. Okay, well, we need to really seriously consider then how dangerous it is, this misinformation. Because if there's so many people not in control of their own minds and their own faculties, then it's dangerous.
I agree. Well, we have a little bit more from him. Let's learn a bit more. Let's delve into that crazy mind. So Daniel Rodriguez said, let's see, are we all that stupid that we thought we were gonna go do this and save the country and it was all gonna be fine after? We really thought that. That's so stupid, huh? I understand what it's very stupid and ignorant. And I see that it's a big joke that we thought that we were gonna save this country. We were doing the right thing and stuff. I get it. And this really goes back to what you said about Trump. Like, I don't like, okay, maybe if the Hodge twins tell you, come on, are we really gonna save the world just because you want us to do it? But like, when the president of the United States like, we have to remember, we see Trump and we have all of our baked in, like, this is literally the dumbest, weakest man I've ever known in my life. But for them, they love him and trust him more than we love and trust insert a person. Or
he was the actual president.
Yeah, the real president
himself said it was stolen, that they're gonna come and round you. I mean, he was saying these kinds of things. It is extremely dangerous. And I don't know if you're gonna mention something that I read about him as well, about him trying to get into the army. I think that's an important fact as well.
Sure. He said he volunteered for Trump. He did door to door and everything, and said he wanted to join the army once Trump became president. And even went to the recruiting office. He said, they didn't take me. And I just thought that I could still contribute by, you know, I didn't take an oath, but I could still stand up for those same things on my own, you know. What did you think about that?
I think this has a lot to do with the toxic masculinity that Trump really emboldened in a lot of these young men across the nation, you know, wanting to feel like they have power. And the fact that he didn't get into the army is interesting, because he wasn't even mentally stable enough for the army, and, you know, that you got to go through some sort of tests.
He might have been too old, judging by the photo. It's hard to say for sure, but he looks like he might be a little bit old to be recruited. I'm not sure,
like,
honestly.
They're like, sorry, grandpa. You know, well, whatever. There's another thing about toxic masculinity. You're losing your youth. You know, when you have that sort of, that anger starts
to be clear, I don't know his age. I'm just judging by the photos that have been released. I honestly don't know.
Lay off him, John. He puts a lot of moisturizer, okay? It's not his fault. He didn't age well. But I do think that toxic masculinity gets in there, and you get rejected from something like the army, and you want to prove your masculinity and you want to get out there. I mean, I saw that in a lot of these guys. These like frat boy wannabes wanting to belong to a club. I mean, the Oath Keepers and all these other shenanigans that they were. Yeah, I mean, this is a big, heavy part of it. And we need to really acknowledge that toxic masculinity has a big place in this insurrection. And I know that there were women there too, but that doesn't mean that women are not susceptible to toxic masculinity as well.
100%. Yeah, we all need to reckon with the fact that there were, coming out of around the year 2000, I think late 90s, there were a lot of guys who their favorite movie was Fight Club. And they really thought that the movie thought the people in Fight Club were cool and strong. That was the only level they analyzed that movie at. There was nothing deeper than that.
Yeah. His name was Robert Paulson.
Exactly. And that's it. And then they go off and they're like, wait, this is my opportunity to join the revolution against the deep state, even though they've actually been tapped to try to keep like a petulant billionaire in power so he can continue to keep like the wealthiest people in the world in charge. So again, they're not great at subtext necessarily. But yeah, there's a bunch of them and they're still vulnerable out there and they still want to serve.
They're vulnerable. And the people that know how to tap into that vulnerability to exploit it, they did it and it worked. And they went up there and now we're seeing that they're not even really getting into too much trouble. I mean, I would have thought they would have been shot in the face there on the spot, but no.
Yeah, well, yeah, aside from the one.
I guess, sorry.
Okay, but by the way, people are like, I like Fight Club. No, I like Fight Club. I think Fight Club's a great movie.
It's great, but there's a lot of subtext.
It's not cool. They're not cool people and they're not doing cool stuff. It's a cool movie.
He was hallucinating. It wasn't healthy. That wasn't a healthy
great
person.
Movie. I love it. Shouldn't be the only movie that you see. That seems weird. But and I read it, by the way. I've read a bunch of his books. Like, you gotta understand the levels. Anyway.
Every time I see one of those corporate art sculptures, I always think of that movie.
Yeah. A lot of the corporate stuff. Okay, everybody, we're gonna take our first break. We come back. Joe Manchin is literally the worst.
In the power rankings,
I think he's moving ahead of cinema. I think we're gonna look into it.
She has no power at all. But yes, I agree with you.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see. But we're gonna take a break. We'll be back after this. By the way, we're talking about the names. Moondragon says, I suspect Viviana will be topping the name list soon. Oh. I think Viviana's a great name, actually.
Well, feel free to name your child Viviana. I would be very flattered.
I've always liked names with like V's and J's. I know I'm biased with the J names, but like Viviana, Vanessa, Jessica, like there's just something about V and J that just, I guess, is a little bit more rare.
Well, Viviana works for both men and women because the male version is Vivian and then the female version is Viviana, believe it or not. It got co-opted, but that's originally.
Okay, I think of Vivian as a female.
I know. Well, if you think back to John Wayne, most macho guy, very racist, but whatever. His name was Marion.
That's true. Okay, everybody, with that, we gotta get back into the news. So, I hate the news sometimes. Let's talk about it. It's good stuff, John.
Let's get it.
It's stuff. Is it good? Anyway, the damage report, it's stuff. Is it good? Anyway. Joe Manchin has a lot of problems with the infrastructure bill, and we've created a government where his opinion for some reason matters outside of West Virginia. So what does he want to ruin? Everything. But first, an issue that's important for me. Let's talk about the most powerful part of President Biden's climate agenda, a program to rapidly replace the nation's coal and gas-fired power plants with wind, solar, and nuclear energy. Will likely be dropped from the massive budget bill pending in Congress. And honestly, when I saw that, you probably thought I was mad. No, I was not mad. I was relieved because of course it's gonna be dropped. And I hate the anticipation, wondering how long do we have to wait until they jettison that thing, they throw it overboard. So what is this program? Well, it's a clean electricity program that would reward utilities that switch from burning oil, gas, and coal to using wind, solar, and nuclear energy and penalize those that don't. It's designed to get 80% of the country's electricity from clean sources by 2030, up from 40% now. That would be huge. That would be massive, obviously. It is a great thing to work towards, not only for climate. By the way, we talk about climate because that's the single most important pressing issue, but we have to remember, pollution is still a massive issue in its own right outside of the pollution of carbon. It kills so many people every single year, and this would do a lot to help fight back against that. Unfortunately, we live in an America, not a democracy, so Joe Manchin, who comes of course from coal-rich West Virginia, has told the White House that he strongly opposes the clean electricity program, according to three people. As a result, White House staffers are now rewriting the legislation without that climate provision and are trying to cobble together a mix of other policies that could also cut emissions, assuming he doesn't have a problem with those too. So yeah. Here is the fun thing about the American government, okay, and the world. So we're facing a climate catastrophe. It's gonna be bad no matter what we do. We get to decide what sort of apocalypse do we want. Do we want a mild apocalypse? Do we want Mad Max? Do we want something worse than that? We wanna live in Fallout world. So we desperately need to do this. And Joe Manchin gets to just say no. It's enough for him to say no. Joe Manchin, who has made $5.2 million from his own coal company, gets to say no, power providers should not turn away from coal.
Yeah.
The guy who owns a coal company gets to decide whether we keep using coal or not. And as if that own personal direct financial interest, this is beyond campaign finance. This is literally he gets the money, not for his campaign,
ownership,
not for events. He gets to buy stuff with it. He also got $400,000 from energy companies and GOP donors in just the third quarter alone. Almost $500,000 in one quarter explicitly to kill provisions like this. So we've said, if you personally benefit, if you politically benefit, you can say screw you to everyone in the country. Indeed, in a very real way, everyone in the world, you get to say no. And it's fine. And honestly, like, great job by, I think that this was Salon that did one. I think it's Insider on the second. There's a few that are talking about this. The vast majority of this reporting from places like the New York Times are just like, well, he has an opposition to it. Not he's corrupt as F and we allow it for some reason. It bothers me so much, Viviana. I can't believe that we allow this.
He's benefiting from the opposition to it. I think it was an Insider photo. I don't know if you guys have thrown it up, but he looks so sneaky in that photo. He's so sneaky, but it's obvious. I mean, we all see it and we know that this is how dirty politics, there he is. Sneaky, I got $400,000, but don't stop burning coal. Yeah, we love it. This is the same argument that the whalers who used to make money selling oil from the whale blubber. Yeah. We can't stop, we're gonna lose our you know, careers and our livelihoods. Well, we have to evolve, people. We cannot let this old curmudgeon make a decision. He's gonna be dead before he has to drink his own filtered urine like the rest of us. So it's not fair. You don't get to make this decision. You represent a whole state, and because of your opposition to this infrastructure bill, you represent the whole entire country, and you're gonna stop us from making progress.
Yeah.
It's bad enough we had pulled out of the Paris Accord. Now, what is even the point? We're trying in vain.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's gonna be terrible for the world, it's gonna be terrible for us. It's gonna be terrible specifically for West Virginia, by the way, which we'll get into. But I do understand that this opposition is bipartisan. Shelley Moore Capito, the other senator from West Virginia, who's a Republican, said she was, quote, vehemently opposed to the clean electricity program because it's, quote, designed to ultimately eliminate coal and natural gas from our electricity mix and would be absolutely devastating for my state. So you can, from her point of view, never get clean electricity.
Sorry, like Shelley, evolve or die. We have to evolve. That's why I'm making the whalers. You know, there were people who were selling whale blubber, and that's how the oil lamps and everything.
Yeah.
And they had to, we couldn't continue that as a form of our fuel. And this is the same exact situation. This is Napster, but with, you know, coal. Like, you gotta evolve. Like, you gotta figure out a new way to make.
Yeah. Exactly. No, you're right. And so you can never move away from it because it'll be devastating for my state. Here's the thing, there is gonna be devastation for a state, but it's not the devastation that she thinks of. She's talking about, well, then we won't dig up the coal and that'll be bad economically, which, by the way, let me be very clear, and maybe this is controversial. Let's say it was devastating to West Virginia in the short term, okay?
No, but you know what will be devastating?
Not having
a plan to get away from coal. That's what's gonna devastate any sort of coal miner. But not having a plan for them to transition into other jobs. That needs to happen. No, that's the devastation.
Well, I wanna clarify. I mean, if it literally was just bad in the short term economically for one small state, I value coastal cities more. I value us not all dying, baking in the summer more. But as you point out, It's not devastating. They're gonna transition them away. And by the way, it can only be so devastating because I'm gonna ask the audience a question right now. We talk a lot about coal and the coal mine, we gotta just stick with coal. How many coal jobs are there in America? Like the whole country.
Yeah.
Do you have I wanna see some tweets.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wanna see some comments.
Let me Google.
So there were not many back at the beginning of the Trump administration. So it was 2017, we'd already been moving down. Actually, some people are accurate. Some are way too high, but some are accurate. It was like close to 100,000 jobs at the beginning of the Trump administration.
What? Well, it says there's 50,000 miners?
It's 40,000 now, the most recent numbers. 40,000.
They all got black lung. Talk about dangerous.
Exactly, yeah. But think about that. Obviously, those 40,000 need help and they'll get it in this bill. Retraining and all that stuff. But it's 40,000 people.
Yeah.
We are a country of hundreds of millions of people. 40,000 is like, how many national employees does Carl's Jr. have? Like we don't grind our government to a halt for Wendy's. Why are we freaking out over the 40,000? Let's help them. Help them get a job that won't break their back, get them black lung and all that.
If you had your pockets lined with $400,000, you might be real protective of their jobs, John.
That's true. Exactly. This has nothing to do with the employees. This has to do with the coal companies and directly Manchin's, but the others.
And the other views that Manchin has is in direct opposition to caring about these families that are coal miners. Because the hypocrisy is just in your face.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So look, we're gonna skip past a little bit of this for time, but we're gonna be devastated. And we have this one opportunity finally to do something, and we're apparently not gonna do it because we allow people like Manchin, like Joe Biden is not gonna give a speech where he points out how corrupt Joe Manchin is to try to put pressure on him. He's just not. He's not gonna give a primetime address to the people of West Virginia and explain what we're explaining here and what I'm about to. Because I said before, it is gonna be devastating, but not the way that they're lying. You know how it's gonna be devastating? New York Times, which doesn't identify the corruption nearly as much, did have good reporting on this. Did you know that West Virginia is actually seriously at risk of flooding? Now you might think, well, wait, I thought like Florida and like places like that were at risk of flooding. Well, it's not just the coastline that are issues of flooding. So new data shows that West Virginia people living there stand to suffer disproportionately as climate change intensifies. Unlike those in other flood exposed states, most residents in mountainous West Virginia have little room to relocate from waterways that increasingly threaten their safety, and they are flooding much more common. Now, you've heard of like 100-year storms and 1,000-year storms that are supposed to be rare, but now they happen like every year.
Yeah.
Did you know that West Virginia is in almost every category of infrastructure the most at risk in the entire country to flooding from those sorts of storms? I wanna show you some of the instances. So 61% of all of their power stations are at risk of flooding during these events.
Jeez.
That's the worst in the country. 46% of the, look, almost half of every road, that's the highest in the country. 57% of fire stations, highest in the country. 50% of police stations, highest in the country. The only two things they're not the highest in, they're tied for highest with Louisiana. That is nearly 40% of their schools and nearly 40% of their commercial properties. So they're gonna be devastated by climate change in all the ways that we know that everyone is, and they're going to flood more. And they've decided, their leadership have decided, no, screw it, we're just gonna make it worse. That's
just
it.
Just so Manchin can get that $400,000 and keep raking in the benefits from his stock portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sick. It's sick. Rich. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
He's look if we I don't know if we can put up the photo again. What does he need an additional 5 million? He made 5 million off his coal company. Remember, he also makes hundreds of thousands of dollars as a senator, let alone all that stuff. So look at him. What does he need an additional $5 million for?
He could get a chin lift, probably.
Sure.
Plastic surgery.
Like maybe like mix it up, like Squid Game, go pink. I don't know. Like something, but and they're going to flood. They're going
because it's a game to them. Destroyed. It's a game. They cannot stop. The greed is just disgusting. It takes over their soul. They just want more, more, more. They cannot stop. It's about power. And this whole combative nature that he has right now is about power as well. It's just about him saying, I can do this.
And there's other stuff he can do too. You alluded to this. Joe Manchin isn't just opposed to doing anything to stop climate change. He's now decided, months into this process, oh yeah, like Biden, a bunch of your other like signature things that you campaigned on, I've decided I don't like him. Yeah. So he told the White House, the child tax credit must include a firm work requirement and family income cap in the $60,000 range.
Wow.
So we've done this child tax credit. It's been around for a year, very popular. It's really helping to cut poverty, childhood poverty and all that. The White House says that if we expand it and make it permanent, we can cut childhood poverty by half, which you might think, well, then obviously do that. Okay, well, you seem to value kids not being poor for some reason. You're not sophisticated like a senator. No, they need a firm work requirement. They need to work, okay? Joe Manchin, by the way, got his first job from his dad. Right. So that's fun. That family income cap, $60,000. Do you know that if you're in just a couple and each of you makes 15 bucks an hour, you hit that cap?
Yeah.
If you make anything more than 15, nope, you don't get any.
I read something like 16% of West Virginians are living in poverty. And what's ironic is that he wants this income cap and he wants you to be forced to work to get the child tax credit, but doesn't want to help you with childcare.
100%, yep.
100%. So how are, was it? I'm not good at math, but something's not adding up here. What the heck?
No, this is a multimillionaire.
Here's what people don't understand about stopping child poverty. Here's what happens. You create an ability for children to actually self-actualize and see what their own potential is because they don't have to worry about the lights being on or what they're gonna eat for dinner. And they can actually eat healthy food and they can actually sit with their families and enjoy their parents instead of having them take three or four jobs. That's what pulling children out of poverty means. It means you give them a chance to be someone like Joe Manchin and actually have a future and have the ability to be corrupt politician if you want. Right now, the American dream doesn't exist for these kids, particularly in West Virginia, the 16% that are living below poverty. And those are the ones that are making like $0, not 60,000 a year. So it is absolutely disgusting that he would make some sort of requirements like this on people who just need to take care of their kids and be able to spend time with their kids, which is more important than anything else. Keep putting these people to work. Oh, you gotta work, you gotta work. So now you have a mom, she's lucky if she has a partner who's there working, contributing to the household. But most likely, she's gonna have to take two or three jobs and have her kid in childcare. There's all her income gone. Now she doesn't qualify for SNAP benefits or any sort of food stamps because she makes too much money. So there's no benefit, there's no way for these people to get out of poverty. It's disgusting, Joe Manchin.
He doesn't care.
Open up your mansion.
He wants them in the coal mines. He wants them literally working in the coal mines.
Now, does he
want the- He is a multimillionaire telling you that if you make $60,000, you deserve no help whatsoever. He thinks, well, you wouldn't just get, he literally said of the climate provision, we shouldn't pay companies to keep doing what they're already doing. What the hell do you think a corporate tax cut is? But what do you think subsidies to fossil fuel companies are? It's paying them to do what they're already doing. But again, he doesn't actually mean that. He just means that for you.
It's disgusting because he's well aware. It's absolutely grotesque how people think that $60,000 is any amount of money that's worth anything. It's absolute nothing.
Yeah.
For kids? Does he want the kids to work? Was that the requirement he was talking? Does he want to put the kids to work? Yeah. I don't know. Well, this
anyway,
guy.
We made our thoughts clear about him. We're gonna keep talking about this. We gotta move on, unfortunately. Because he's got a buddy. I don't know if they're actually friends, but
party affiliation.
Yeah, I look, and West Virginia needs to wake up that their senators, Republican or Democrat, don't give a damn about them. They have ground them down under this idea that doing anything to help the poor, anything to transition away from coal is gonna devastate them. They're devastated now as a product of this. They've got to move in a different direction. And it doesn't matter at the end of the day if Joe Manchin's a Republican or a Democrat, he's part of the system that is keeping them oppressed, actively oppressed. And it is only gonna get worse in the future. Yeah. Take West Virginia today and make it way more flooded. That's what it needed. Anyway,
what happens let's to the turn coal mines then?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with all the flooding. Okay, we gotta move ahead though. Kyrsten Sinema cares about one thing and it ain't you. It's wine for some reason. Remember how she did an internship at a winery last year? Like during the pandemic when everyone was like struggling and desperately needed government help, she found time to go step on grapes or whatever for a bit. That was fun. Well, she has a continued relationship with that winery. Apparently, they spent a bunch of money there. Her reelection campaign spent $1,180 on August 12th at Three Sticks Wines in Sonoma, California. Remind you, she's not the senator from California. Why is she spending so much time in wine country in California? But anyway, the FEC has now revealed that. So why? Well, they say it's campaign expenses. It is, after all, our reelection campaign. So we're spending $1,200 on it. Here's the issue. The winery says that that's not what happened. The senator, according to them, the senator purchased wine and a virtual tasting kit online. The hell is that? That is rich. I almost swore. That is the thing that a rich person wants. That I don't even know what that is. But she didn't hold an event or a meeting at the winery. So, did she just purchase wine? I mean, look at her Instagram account and what she likes. She loves wine. I know that. Well, it kind of looks like she spent $1,200 on wine. And here's the issue. Federal law generally prohibits congressional campaigns from buying items for their candidates' personal use outside the context of running for office. The law generally allows campaigns to purchase promotional items and gifts to give to supporters and donors. It also allows campaigns to purchase items for campaign gatherings, which is just amazing. You can give them money, then they can spend the money to give you gifts. And yeah. I guess that's cool and not bribery or anything like that. Nope. So she's a senator and she doesn't care at all about being a senator. She's here to set up events or something or have fun with wine or.
Can we go back to
her wellness?
The internship? Is she not a middle-aged woman internship? I'm confused what that means. She just went and hung out there.
An internship for someone young is a thing that you might have to do. For her, it's fun. Like just a vacation. Like
she was just
like, I don't want to do this senator stuff.
Lucy and Ethel stepping on grapes and just having fun.
Yeah, maybe she'll do a chocolate factory next season. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see if she's up for it once they crank up the speed of that line. But that is what it is. She just like it is exactly the same thing on a very different level of when we were initially stuck in lockdown. Everybody just needed something to do. I needed something, so I bought a typewriter as just like a lark. She took a couple weeks to do a winery internship because she had nothing better to do. And that's not me saying that, that's her showing it. Wow. She didn't have anything she needed to do during the pandemic.
Yeah. What are the consequences of something like this, John? Let's find out that indeed it's proven that this was illegally spent funds.
I do have the answer for that. Nothing. That's what the consequences will be. Jackass. That's what the consequences will be. There's no laws. There's no. The ethics committee will look into it or something. You can do whatever you want because they've set up the system.
Over $1,000 of wine? I mean, this is expensive. That's how Johnny Depp went into bankruptcy.
Bottle,
that's true.
Is that it?
Johnny Depp. Really? He was for a period. He was part of some like wine of the month club, and he was spending like $28,000 on wine per month.
Jeez, okay, that's a lot of money, a lot of wine. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out more. By the way, this story was reported by Dave Leventhal and Robin Brevender of Insider. Dave Leventhal has been on our show, I think, 82 times. And this is his beat. Is he stays on when they're not complying with what passes for ethics laws and legal obligations. Maybe he'll be able to get some answers and maybe we'll bring him on and talk.
Please do, because I you know, there needs to be some sort of like reckoning. Here she is doing absolutely nothing, getting in the way of progress and stepping on grapes and doing God knows what. I can't wait for her to start promoting Vita Vita Vegemin. Another Lucy reference.
You really like Lucy, don't you?
Yes, I love Lucy.
That's true. It's kind of right in there. She takes a sip. She's so satisfied with herself. She takes a sip anyway. Okay.
If I don't like my own jokes, John, who will?
That's a good point. I've always been of that school. Anyway, maybe at some point I will give my argument for why laughing at your own joke should not actually be demonized as it has been socially. But anyway, that's all the time we have for these modern politicians that were actually really bad in practice. After the break, we're gonna talk about Colin Powell. So we're gonna switch it up a little bit and we'll be back after this. Okay, what else is going on? Well, today is Monday. So of course, you know what that means. Old School is gonna be coming up a little bit later on. I don't know who's gonna be on. I wish that would be added to my document, but it's gonna be awesome regardless. Also, in a moment, we're about to talk about Colin Powell. And I just wanna tell you, you're gonna have to watch the main show later too. Because I mean, TYT has been around since before the Iraq War. Like that was the big thing that like really got TYT going. I have a feeling that Cenk is gonna have some thoughts on the legacy of Colin Powell as well. So I'm gonna give my take, but he was covering the news back then during that time. So just bear that in mind. Okay, let's see. We have a couple of minutes. So I'm just gonna read this really fast. Bart is awesome. Bart says, John, I think you missed one of the major observations of the movie Fight Club and how it's very relevant in the culture. It's an expression dubbed satire of a generation of men who lack a sense of spirituality, love, and passion in their lives. As Tyler Durden mentioned, quote, we're the middle children of history, man, no purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. If you're living a life of disconnection, you will be sent on the path of toxicity. The MAGA rioter who broke down is definitely a candidate for Fight Club. This is what I got out of the movie when I first watched it. Bart, two things. One, I love you. And two, yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not saying I would have worded it exactly like you did, but no, I totally. That's the level I'm saying that, like that and other levels are the levels people should take it at. My issue is the people that are like, that's cool. Wait, like what? You mean like the philosophical? No, that. I want to do that thing they did. That's not cool.
They want to go in a basement and start beating the hell out of each other. But that's right on the money, Bart. That's exactly it. That's what got everybody up the stairs on the Capitol. We're going out. All right.
That was their chant, actually.
That was it.
Anyway,
word for word.
But thank you, Bart. I do appreciate that. Okay, with that, I think that there is some news that we need to talk about. This morning, we found out, as I'm sure you already have, that Colin Powell has passed away. Apparently, with complications due to COVID-19, the family put out a statement saying, General Colin Powell, former U.S. Secretary of State and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, passed away this morning due to complications from COVID-19. They did note that he was fully vaccinated, and they say we have lost a remarkable and loving husband, father, grandfather, and a great American. The complications due to COVID thing has to do with the fact that he had a multiple myeloma, cancer of plasma cells that suppresses the body's immune response. A little bit later on, that is going to come into play in some of the other commentary we're seeing around the vaccine and all that. I want to give you sort of his official bio before we go into our own commentary. He's a veteran of the Vietnam War. Powell rose to the rank of 4-star general and in 1989 became the first black chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. In that role, he oversaw the US invasion of Panama and later the US invasion of Kuwait to oust the Iraqi army in 1991. In 2001, George W. Bush appointed him Secretary of State, the first black American to hold that position. So he has had these positions. Some of them were, you know, historic. A black man had never held those positions before. He had, you know, a notable run for the presidency on the Republican side. For many people, though, his legacy is better encapsulated by what he did after all that. He becomes Secretary of State under George W. Bush. So what does that mean? Well, if you're not familiar with the George W. Bush presidency, they did a lot of bad things that were consequential immediately and for a very long time and killed a lot of people. And unfortunately, Colin Powell was a part of that, making the case for those wars. In 2003, he went before the UN Security Council at Bush's behest to make the case for the war. He cited faulty information claiming Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein had secretly stashed away weapons of mass destruction. I'm sure you've seen the photos of him with the maps and the sat photos and all of that. It was garbage intelligence, but it was used to scare the American public, to tell them we've got to do something now, desperately now. He's hiding nukes and the world is such that Saddam Hussein's gonna nuke the US from halfway around the world somehow, or he's gonna give it to a terrorist and they're gonna bring it in and it's gonna be the sum of all fears all over again. And he also said other stuff that we'll get to later on, but that was his thing. Like he helped lie us into the war in Iraq. Or maybe you just believe that he was duped, or he didn't know how bad the intelligence was. But the net effect was he scared the hell out of a lot of people, and it helped make people, including our government, more supportive, and you know, around the world, more supportive of this war that we should have never been involved in. Viviana, there's a lot there. I apologize. Yeah. What do you think?
He also helped make a lot of politicians very wealthy off that war. Mm-hmm. Very wealthy off of the blood of Americans and Iraqis and Afghanis and innocent people and children. And it's still happening today. And I hate that that's a legacy that he leaves behind, because it was really great to see a Black American holding Secretary of State office. It's really impressive. And I think he probably struggled with a lot of those decisions too. I mean, you can kind of see him towards the end of his life. I think you gotta have regrets. You know, he didn't seem like a bad guy, but when you're in that world and you make those decisions based on your career and, you know, justifying your position and appeasing whomever's in charge,
yeah,
you make your bed and you lie in it. So I hope he passed with peace. I hope he maybe came to some reckoning in his mind about the decisions that he made in his life. It's sad on a day that he has passed, and so sad on to be taken from COVID on top of it, you know, already being ill, but then just getting worked over by this illness. It's just a sad thing, because this is really the state of affairs of our politics. You have people who actually probably had good intentions getting into this business, probably had a good intentions to wanting to help the country, and then getting mixed up in stuff that ends up hurting a lot of people worldwide. But he had an impact, that's for sure.
I agree. Like, some of the stuff, like he seemed to hate the direction that the Republican Party had gone in, you know, lately. But I will point out that when he was serving in a Republican administration, that was a terrible administration too.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, and not just foreign policy.
In some ways worse. I know we hate Trump.
In some ways, we're controversial.
But the Bush family has done a lot of damage.
They have.
And it's easy for us to be like, oh, Trump. But Bush Junior and senior, they were problematic. They were problem children.
Totally. And look, some people might be listening and thinking, why are you focusing so much on this? When someone dies, you shouldn't criticize them. Respectfully, no. I don't believe that. Like, if you, for some reason, don't want to be criticized after you die, which I don't know why you'd care, you're dead. But if you don't want to be criticized, don't do anything worth criticizing. And then they might turn around and say, well, what about when the people you like die? Well, look, you know, the politicians that I like will eventually die, and I don't think they have anything like this to answer for. And if they do, then they deserve the criticism. They might say, well, what about Obama? I'm gonna criticize Obama when Obama eventually dies. I mean, I'll probably die before he's in better shape than me, but yeah.
We criticize Obama while he's alive. Why not?
Exactly. I mean, he is
a public person. He was a public servant. So you're not lambasting him with like lies. This is stuff that he did, and he knows he did it. I mean, there were no weapons of mass destruction.
Yep, 100%.
Colonel Jessup ordered the code red.
Exactly. he can't handle the truth about what he did, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, look, if you want more information about his career, it's available. I'm sure that's not, I don't see that.
That being said, condolences to his family. Condolences.
Of course, yeah.
He seemed like a family man. He seemed like he was very tied to his community. So, you know, obviously condolences to that. But we do have to acknowledge that he had an effect on this planet, and it wasn't all good, sadly.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. Now, really fast, the fact that he died despite being fully vaccinated, what do you think that did? I don't know. Do you know America? Do you know what people are going to do with that information? Well, John Roberts, Fox News anchor. Well, really, really fast, because we only have a minute. Fox News anchor John Roberts tweeted, the fact that Colin Powell died from a breakthrough COVID infection raises new concerns about how effective vaccines are long term. He later deleted it, saying it made him seem as if he was anti-vax, which he is not. But lots of people tweeted things like, this proves it doesn't help. What's the point? First of all, he had an immune suppressing condition. Second of all, that's not how protection works. And I will say, as I always do, nobody who has a gun would get rid of it if they found out it didn't provide 100% protection, but it doesn't provide 100% protection. So let's just be very clear about that.
Yeah, but these are the same people that are gonna say he died of cancer, not of COVID. So,
Well, look, he died and he had COVID. It didn't help. Didn't help, I'll say that. But get a vaccine, because it will provide the best protection you have available to you, and a lot of people are still needlessly dying from COVID. Anyway, thank you if you've been watching our linear platform. If you're on Twitch or YouTube, we do have a lot more stories. We're gonna take a short break, but we'll be back in a few minutes.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.